It is glorious, this history of ours. It is a great story, that of the Negro in America. It begins way before America was America, or the USA, the USA. It covers a wide span, our story. Let me tell it to you.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You are listening to Signs and Wonders, the show that came right on time. I'm your host, Dawid Yako Maccabeus. Today is September 15th, Wednesday. I am coming to you live from Sweden. Today's show is entitled The Usurpers, The Overview. But before we start, let us begin with a word of prayer. And we're going to pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you today with a humble heart, in a constant state of awe. When I learn of your love, patience, and your unbroken promises, the promises you have given to your creation, even though we do not deserve it, Father. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, your promise, Yahushua, because in his powerful name we are all saved. In his name we are all blessed. In his name the captives will be set free. I pray, Ahaya, O Ahaya, that you bless this broadcast with your wisdom and guide me with your spirit to help those in need who desire to hear your words. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bind and bound the principalities that will interrupt this broadcast. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless me with confidence and articulation of speech to speak this message clearly. Once again, Heavenly Father, bless this broadcast. I pray this prayer, Heavenly Father, in the name of your precious gift to the world, the Messiah, your Son, Yahushua. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for coming to this broadcast. Now, this broadcast is entitled The Usurpers, The Overview. I wanted to name this broadcast this because I went through four different studies on the usurpers, and I had to break them into different parts. Now, I'm saying this, and I'm going to explain this for those that did not listen to the broadcast or that will find this sometime in the future. I want them to go back. If they hear this message, they can go back to the broadcast, download it, and listen to it. Now, this overview is going to give you a little bit more detail on why I actually thought about doing this study. But before I begin, I want to talk about the format of the program. Now, today I am actually going to try to take calls. Now, but the thing is, I'm actually talking from Skype. And I think I have to be, I have to call into Blog Talk in order for me to take calls. But, my Skype, number is Dawid Yaakov. If you put Dawid Yaakov, you can find it. And then I guess I will, answer you from Skype. I haven't really got this thing down yet. Sorry about that. But the last half hour of the show, I will try to take calls. If I can't, then maybe I can figure it out next time. Okay, so let's begin because this is going to be a shorter broadcast, hopefully. But I wanted to, just to clarify a couple of things. Okay, now I want to take this time to give a quick overview of the Usurper series, right? And the usurpers and the powers behind white supremacy. I spoke about how the British Israelites claimed to be the original Hebrews of the scriptures and how the system of white supremacy was to support this belief by dominating and exploiting their control over the following areas. And I spoke about these areas, which are economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. And of course, I got that from Nellie Fuller. And Nellie Fuller explains this in his book. Now, I wanted to lay out an example. Okay? Now, here's an example of economics. Because I'm not going to go through every point, but I'm going to brush through the point so you can put it in your mind on how white supremacy has dominated these fields and how we can see through the example of economics how they are dominating the field and how they're actually hurting people, destroying people. Okay? Now, listen. Here's what something I got from Wikipedia, and this relates to Zimbabwe. And it says, economics, let's look at Zimbabwe. Here is what I found on the web, and it reads. Now, it says, some observers attribute Zimbabwe's economic difficulties to sanctions imposed by the Western powers, a thesis also advanced by Mugambi government. It has been argued that the sanctions imposed by Britain, the U.S., and the EU have been designed to cripple the economy and the conditions of the Zimbabwe people in an attempt to overthrow President Mugabe's government. Many critics point to the so-called Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act of 2001, signed by George Bush in 2001, as an effort to undermine Zimbabwe's economy. Now listen to this. Soon after the bill was signed, IMF, the International Monetary Fund, cut off its resources to Zimbabwe. Financial institutions began withdrawing support for Zimbabwe. Terms of the sanctions made it such that all economic assistance would be structured in support of democratization, respect for human rights, and the rule of law. The EU terminated its support for all projects in Zimbabwe. Because of the sanctions, the U.S. and the European Union foreign policy, none of the Zimbabwe's debt have been canceled, as in other countries. Other observers also point out how the asset freezes by the European Union on people or companies associated with Zimbabwe's government have had significant economic and social cost to Zimbabwe. Okay. Now, from this, you see that I read that people are starving to death, and the old and young are dying in the streets. Now, if you think this is a bunch of crap, you know, because you have those people out there. You know, I heard him on the internet saying that, you know, the Africans just can't manage anything, and how when Africa was freed from the colonialization, how they just became dictators and destroyed their own economy. All right. Well, if you don't understand how this works, I advise you to pick up a book, okay? And the author, actually, you don't have to pick up a book. You can Google this name. The name is called John Perkins. Okay, now the title of his book is called Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Now, he's been out there for like three years or so talking about this, maybe even longer. But he gives a confession on how the IMF and World Bank has crippled third world nations. And they use the same method all throughout Africa to put them in debt. Okay, so when Zimbabwe wants to be free from the rule of colonialism and tries to control its own economic future, we can see how it says here, George Bush signs the, the Economic Recovery Act, and how Britain and the EU and the U.S., you know, the Anglo-Saxon nations has crippled this country, where people, old people and young people are starving in the streets, where they have to give gold now, gold, you know, find gold in the rocks to try to give it for bread and wheat. I bring this up because I want to bring you to how white supremacy is controlling economics. Okay? Now, I'm not going to get too much into Zimbabwe, but understand Rhodesia. Remember, it was a Rhodesian dollar first, right? And then it became the Zimbabwe dollar, you know? And then the farmers and stuff. I mean, the whole history of this is like a cookie cutter on how they operate. All right? Now, and you read this book, basically, this is the face of white supremacy. You know, if you read the book Confessions of Economic Hitman, it basically shows you how they operate. Okay. Now, the next area of control is education. Now, according to the U.S. Census, there are about 2.5 million PhDs. Okay? And now, out of those PhDs, there are 1,869 of African Americans. Okay? So out of 2.5 million, only 1,869 are African Americans. Now, we know that economics and education go hand in hand. Now, try getting a job with your high school diploma, if you're fortunate to even have a high school diploma. You know, I use myself as an example. I had to get a GED. Okay? I had to get a GED in order to get a job. And then the job that I would get was like working at McDonald's or Burger King or some other lowly job like that. You know, I'm going to go over my history one day, but I used to have to, you know, I had to be a bouncer for 10 years in the clubs because I didn't have an education. I wasn't stupid, okay, but I didn't have an education. It wasn't until I was in my late 20s. Until I decided to try. And then I went to community college in California, and, you know, I'll tell you about that later. Okay, now, one of the other areas of control is entertainment. Okay? Now ask yourself, who owns the top record companies, the radio, TV, media? Okay? Another area of control is labor. Who controls all the Fortune 500, 300, 100? Now, are you starting to get the picture here? You see, it's like, what do you call it, full spectrum dominance? That comes to mind when I think about all these areas of control. Yeah, we're not done yet. Let's think about law. This is in the list. Who controls the Supreme Court? What about politics? Now take a look at who controls the executive, legislative, and the judicial branches of the government, speaking of the United States government. But this can go for all over the world. Now, religion. Ask yourself, why are all the angels, the so-called saints, and even the Messiah pictured as Anglo-Saxons? Okay? Now, you see, the usurpers dominate every aspect of life. And if you are blind to it, then they dominate your mind as well. Now, in the second half of the Usurper series, entitled The Usurpers and the Chosen People from the Caucasus, I spoke about how the people that call themselves Jews are different from the people that are Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures. The final point of this study was to bring to light how the Hebrew Israelites were usurped by the Edomites. The point I wanted to make is that the original people of the book have been scattered for over 2,700 years. Okay? Now, they are not extinct, but they're scattered. When you study history, you can see how this scattering has taken place. That is, if you can look past the parts that have been manipulated by the controllers. Because history, that's another story. Okay, Now, the reason why it is vital to know this point is to understand that everything you thought you knew is now questionable. Here are a few points to consider. When dealing with the deception concerning the British Israelites, you have to ask, what is the Hebrew version of a king versus the version taught by the usurpers? Okay? Now, kings, when you think of kings, we think of rule, you know? But what exactly is the Hebrew version of a king? Look at history, okay? Now think about the temple. The temple. Which temple am I talking about? The temple that was built to house the Ark of the Covenant. See, the story is told that King David was uncomfortable knowing he was living in a palace when the words of the Most High were housed in cedar wood under a tent. So, his son, King Solomon, constructed the temple. Right? You know the story. David couldn't do it because, you know, he killed somebody for a woman and his heart wasn't right. And the Most High said, look, your son's going to build the house for me. And King Solomon asked for wisdom, and he granted him this wisdom. So he constructed the temple. Now, the Most High did not ask for this. It was man's idea. Now, this is very important. From my understanding, the king's duty, based on the Hebrew teaching, is service to the people. Okay? King's duty is service to the people. Mighty rulers like King Arthur, Queen Victoria, Augustus Caesar, or King Herod, see, they weren't the type of king that was thought of when you think of the Hebrew king. Whenever you have the kings like King Arthur, Queen Victoria, Augustus Caesar, or King Herod, see, this causes tyranny. This is why the Most High did not suggest it. It was the Hebrews that asked for a king. And why did they ask for a king? Because in that area, you had the kings of Edom. Remember? The kings of Edom, the dukes. So the Hebrews were like, hey, why don't we have a king over us? And the Most High said, hey, you don't want this. Okay, now, from my observations, the characteristics through the Creator are humbleness. The choice of coming through the African people should not surprise you. Plus, the Hebrew was not always humble. He had to be humble. Okay? He had to be humbled because they became kings. And now think about this. Yahushua, he was riding on the back of a broken down colt. He wasn't riding on the back of a mighty white horse. He was not comely. What does comely mean? It means he was not beautiful. He was not a fashion model. Okay? Now, these characteristics should be a clue. These people, the usurpers, they want us to think that the Most High, Ayah, the Creator of heaven and earth, will choose the most beautiful, the most powerful, the best speaking. No. All right? This is a deception. Okay? Now, I'm speaking like this because I want to speak clearly. I want to make sure that everything I say, you take to heart. Okay? And just listen to this. Now, think about this. When Moses was chosen by the Most High, he was insecure because he was not the best articulate brother. You understand? He stuttered, mumbled. He didn't articulate very well. So the word tells us that his older brother Aaron was the one who spake for Moshe. He said, Moshe, Aaron will speak for you, so don't worry about it. So when the powers behind white supremacy use words like supreme, or when they use the English or Spanish as the dominating language, you have to ask yourself, why? Why are they doing this? Okay, so now, let's ponder on why the Israelites need us to believe that they are the chosen ones of the Creator. Okay? But before we ponder on that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll play a little something for you.
Souls awaken, your deathbed is waiting, no time for contemplating, commit to box with Satan, ball with the devil, I'm hard with the metal, watch the smoke settle, you see a rash rebel, a militant mind, my vision divine, the word has seen enough and had enough, it is past time, it's crunch time, hit the hard head, it's lunch time, too much rip going off, the punchline, I give it to him, straight up and raw, you got to hear some and see some that you never saw. Walk with the word, the talk is superb. I'm about to set it the face of the image you serve. Yeah, toting scripture, I focus the picture. I overstand the plan, that means I over-deliver. I overstand the plan and all the ramifications. The verse about the curse, watch the rebirth of a nation. I make a wrong move, they got a cell for me waiting. I make the right move, I see the same situation. I put you on the game, but you be blinded by hating. I pray you seek the truth so you can find it and make it. I hope you seek the truth, but don't reject it, but take it. They've been living out a lie, now it's time that they face it.
Father, bless me in the trenches as I battle these demons. In a land full of heathens, going to war with the Greeks. The adversary won't carry for the scripture we speak. I live or die, the truth will rise through those souls that seek it. The church is full of snakes and the preacher's the main one. Ain't no soul getting saved, just some finished getting done. Sacred name has been forsaken, words drug through the mud. A curse lineage and nation, shit in Hebrew blood. It led me down the path of sin, so I have no option but to oppose the beast with a set apart doctrine. When you bring it forth truth, then the world hates your presence. Cause the message shatters faith in the wake of the lesson. Even came full circle, Babylonian rule. You lack knowledge of the game, then you're destined to lose. The revelation is real, and it's not a pretty scene. You better know the ins and outs before you choose your team. In a world full of lies, truth is stranger than fiction. Caught in webs of deception, living Satan's depiction. The adversary keeps his hands in the minds of man to create blind faith in his falsified plan. Understand who I am, true Hebrew man. True Israelite descendant, your seed of Abraham. When the time comes for battle, the word is the blueprint. To the set apart scripture, outcome is evident. The murky element in this life contains danger. But once the fog is lifted, the system can't tame me. Call it total recall or unplug from the matrix. Some righteous warriors ever since the truth saved us. Teachings of the prophets, take my stance and I hold it. With my eyes locked on Yah, never shifting my focus. Dropping 16 deep as the Dead Sea scrolls, ripping holes through the schemes and the lies we were told.
Okay, welcome back, welcome back. Okay, now, before the break, I finished with the statement which says, let's ponder on why the British Israelites need us to believe that they are the chosen ones of the Creator. Because this is one of the bases of the problems, okay? Now, the first thing you should come to mind, the first thing that should come to your mind is power. Now, this is pretty obvious, okay? Kings were empowered based on the deception that they were chosen from God to rule over mankind, okay? The second reason is The principality used this deception to keep the world blind to the truth. Because when your mind is directed to consider only one choice, then you will miss everything and the truth will pass you by. Okay? Let me say that again. When the mind is directed to consider only one choice, then you will miss everything and the truth will pass you by. I will explain that later. Okay, now let's clarify this. Now, let's say, if you were locked in a room, and you were told that there was no way out, and at first sight it would seem that there was no way out, you would remain trapped because you would not look for one, right? But if someone locks you in a room and tells you there is a way out, but you have to find it, you would do everything in your power to find your freedom. You understand? It's all about mind control. You see, this is how the control, this is how they control and deceive the masses, by telling them the chosen are the Jewish Israelites, or the chosen are the British Israelites. And we accept this because we are told that this is our only option. Then we look at the world in its present condition and blame the Most High. After all, it is His chosen that are in control, aren't they? See, this lie is enforced through deceptive education. Now, here's an example. I wrote a book, it's a real thin book. It's called The Lost Chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, before I continue, I want to make a statement. It may seem that I read a lot of books and stuff, but, you know, this is like a phenomenon for me. Because, you know, recently I started reading a lot of books and stuff, and I got hungry. I got hungry for knowledge because I'm searching. I've been looking and I've been searching for things, you know, and my search has brought me into a lot of revelations. You know, a lot of things have been revealed to me, and I just want to share those things with you. And, you know, I know the Most High has His hands on me, because if you knew my past and where I am now, you would be amazed. One day I'm going to give like a testimony. I'm going to testify for you. But right now, I got work to do. So I just want to finish this. And then when I have free time to speak about who I am and all these things, then we can speak freely like that. But as for now, like I said, I read this thin book. It's called The Lost Chapters of Acts of the Apostle. Okay? Now, this book was written by that guy that I mentioned that gave a foreword to Zebulun, the book of Zebulun. His name is E. Raymond Capp. Okay? Now think about this. I bought this book when I was blind, and I had no clue that I was under mind control. So I got this book at least 12 years ago, and I read it, didn't understand it, put it on the shelf. Now, in this book, it gives a story about how Paul, okay, the Apostle Paul, he went to the lost sheep of Israel in the town of Lud, L-U-N-D, Lud. Now, this is present-day London. And he went there in the year 43 A.D. Now, I'm speaking clearly like this so you can get this in your mind. Think about this. Paul went to Lud, 43 A.D. It speaks about how a church was built and how the Christians of Britain fought off Augustus of Rome with their Christians' king named Caractacus. Which reminds me of another tale. Okay? It's about a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea. I'm sure we all heard of this one. It was the year 37 AD. Now he went to preach to the lost sheep of Israel also in Britain. Now, both these stories are very popular and are taught as truth. But once your mind was allowed, but think about this. Both these were taught as truth, okay? But once my mind was allowed to ponder, I thought, now hold on, okay? Now I'm going to break this down for you. Because when I read this book before, I didn't understand. But now that I'm reading this, and I have these dates of 43 AD and 37 AD, now, see if you came up with this same thought. Now, mind you, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph is the man that took the body of the Messiah and had a tomb and put him in the tomb. It was his tomb. He's a rich man, right? He was the uncle. I believe he was his uncle. He was kin to Mary, all right? Now, here's what I pondered on after reading this. First thing. Did Joseph speak Hebrew or English? Because, you know, Britain is England, right? They speak English, England, right? So, did he speak Hebrew or English in 37 A.D.? And if he did speak English, how is he going to explain something that happened 2 years prior in a foreign country? All right? I'm sorry. No, it was in a foreign country, but also it was done in a foreign language. It's Hebrew. You know, because Christ was crucified in 33 A.D., and by 37 A.D., they were already Christians in Great Britain. Question. How long did it take Joseph to get to Great Britain from Jerusalem? And wasn't there a war going on at this time between Rome and Britain? Okay? When you know history, you know that there was a war. They were bitter enemies, the Romans and the Britons. So Joseph went there during a time of war and converted all these people to Christianity. Now, did he travel alone, or was he with a Hebrew posse? And if he did travel with a posse, wouldn't they think he was a spy coming from, you know, a province of Rome, because Jerusalem was a province of Rome, right? And if he did go there, how long would it take to turn a kingdom from paganism to Christianity? Now, when you look at modern-day Protestants, okay, the Protestant movement, here's the deal. They come to a town, they build a church, create a doctrine, and then they have established a religion. You know, and then, like, after years and years and years and years, then this doctrine has been set up by this man that came here. But the church that Joseph of Arimathea came in, it took maybe about 6 months or a year, if you consider the travel time. You see? Now, I'm not trying to make fun of all this, but, you know, when you begin to have an open mind and your mind is free, you begin to say, wait a minute now, wouldn't all these things, you know, should you take these things into consideration? You understand? Now, when my mind was trapped, I did not ponder on these things because I did not think. I didn't think I had the option. Now, I know all things are possible, okay? Now, I know all things are possible with the Most High. You see, I'm aware that the parable of the mustard seed, okay? I know about this parable. And I'm not making fun because the parable of the mustard seed explains that how a small, very, very, very small seed can grow and how big is a mustard seed. So we understand this parable. But if the British Israelites are not of the tribe of Israel, then this parable in this instance does not apply. Remember, The word states that the lost sheep are to receive the word first. Then the Gentiles will hear the word spoken from the mouth of the priest of the Most High, which are called the elect. Okay? Now, take your mind back to that room. Okay, being locked in the room. Remember, they say, if you're locked in a room and you were told that there was no way out, and at first sight it would seem that there was no way out, you know, you would remain trapped because you would not look for one, because they said, hey, there's no way out. But if someone locks the room in another scenario and they tell you there is a way out, but you have to find it, you would do everything in your power to find your freedom, and you would find your freedom. Because now you know that there's a way out. There's an alternative way of thinking. Okay? Now, well, the reason why I'm telling you this is because I want you to understand that there is a way out of your present mind control condition. This world, this is not a reflection of the will of its creator. Now you have to free your mind. Okay? Now, from this point, I want you to do something. I want you to create counterfeit anchors. Now what a counterfeit anchor is, it's like, you know, when they hypnotize people and they give you anchors and they say something, and then when the hypnosis says that thing, your mind reacts to that thing, and then you do whatever the hypnosis put in your mind. Well, we're going to use these anchors, but we're not doing hypnosis. We're doing freedom. And I use these myself. And what these anchors are, I call them, they're counterfeit anchors. What these are, these are things you can think about if you feel deception at play. Alright? The first thing to ask is, what line the Messiah came from? Okay? Meaning like, the Messiah was born from a specific line. If you know this line, you can detect if the words from someone written in the book are to your benefit or to your destruction. For example, King Herod, the Edomite, and his priest, better known as Bathusians. They were the Bathusian priests, the Sadducees. Okay, they took control of the books and they wrote the Talmud. Okay? Now, if you didn't know about the Bathusians, then you wouldn't put that in your mind as an anchor point. A counterfeit anchor. Okay? And another anchor. When I speak about the characteristics of the people. Now, are the people white, black, Asian? Do they resemble the Ashkenazis? The Sephardians, the Anglo-Saxons, or are they of African descent? If you know, if you knew what they were, you would question a lot of things in the world. Okay? So, now, this is very vital. When they say, like, knowledge is power, whoever said that, they must have knew something, because knowledge is power. Because when someone says something to you about, yes, this right here is a Hebrew Israelite, and it's an Ashkenazi, and they say, this Ashkenazi says, this is how the Hebrews lived, or how they should live, right away you'll say, wait, that's deception, because I know that the Hebrew Israelites are of African descent, and this is what they really taught. And now you can see the deception, and then you can question why they are trying to bring this deception to me, and you can figure a lot of stuff out, especially their false doctrine. Okay? Now, Before I continue with this overview, I want to explain my message.
All right.
Now, this is important because a lot of people probably don't know where I'm coming from. Now, I'm not against the Messiah. I am against... Let me explain this better. Why am I doing this study? Okay. Am I teaching another doctrine? That's one question. Do I still believe that the Messiah, Yahushua, is the doorway that forgives mankind of his sins and is the salvation of mankind? Well, the answer is yes, 100%. Now, don't think because I'm not a conventional Christian and that I question the Christian doctrine that I'm against the Messiah, because I'm not, okay? I'm not against the Messiah. I am against the way his message has been hijacked by these present days Baruchians, okay? They call themselves preachers and priests. And another point, his name is not Jesus. It is Yahushua. His message is to the lost sheep first, and then to the Gentiles. Now, understand this point. Listen up carefully. This is very important. We all can be grafted into the root. Okay? But we have to come correct. You can step. Okay, now, you can't step over someone because they are not your idea on what your God had in mind. Okay, now what I mean by that is the Gentiles have to hear the message through the Hebrew Israelites. The Gentile can be grafted in to the root. Okay, the root, the Messiah. They can be grafted in to that line. But you have to come correct. You cannot step over someone because they are not your idea of what God had in mind. Okay? Now, when I did the study on the usurpers and the chosen people from the Caucasus, my point was to bring out the deception of the ones that call themselves Jews. The subject matter was geared towards a lot of different things, but it mainly was geared towards why they want to be the chosen one. And the reason why, of course, is because of the state of Israel. Another one was, the point was, through Esau, whom was the father of the Edomites, the Jews came. Okay? That was another point. Another one was, I wanted to explain the purpose of the ones that are called Ashkenazis and Sephardic Jews. You know, what was their role? And also, most of all, I wanted to explain how this deception landed the Edomites in the position of the king and the high priest that allowed them to kill the Messiah and slow down the message. Okay? Now think about this, because the Hebrew Israelites were disobedient, weak-willed, and lame in spirit. Now we created the environment for the Messiah, Yahushua, to be brought before Herod and the Bahuthian priest and dragged through the streets of the Gentile and hung on the tree. That was our fault. Alright? Now, if we listened and kept the law and followed the commandments, then the Messiah would have been born in an environment with a king's welcome. There would have been singing and tears of joy. There would have been preparations, excitement, anticipation. We'd have hit the ground running. We'd have told everyone about the arrival of the Messiah, the Yahushua, the Savior of Ahia. You know? But it didn't happen. Why? because we were disobedient, weak-willed, and we were lame in spirit. And this is why the world is going through this. But we have to acknowledge that. If we don't acknowledge that, then it will continue to go on and on and on and on. Okay. Now, before we go around blaming the white man, I think we better look deep and see the real cause of our predicament. Okay? We really have to look deep and see why this is happening. Okay, I'm going to take one more break. I need to get some water. My throat is getting a little bit dry. And here we go.
Hit it.
Okay, welcome back. You know, as I'm listening to this song in my headphones, it sounds like it's dragging and really distorted. I'm not sure You can hear it on Blog Talk. So I'm going to have to listen to the episode later. And if it is, I apologize. Hopefully I can figure out what the problem was. But to get back to the usurpers, the overview of the usurpers. I wanted to say this broadcast, like I said before, to clarify about why I did the usurper series. And hopefully, you know, I was able to articulate that. If not, I apologize. I'll have to listen to this later and maybe I have to come back and actually say it again. But there's another point I wanted to make, and this is concerning the British Israelites. And when you learn about their doctrine, you can start breaking it apart and actually seeing exactly what they are trying to say. And there's a story in the same book, The Lost Chapters of the Acts of the Apostle. Now, it talks about how there is a, let me just read it. There's a guy by the name of, his name is Rufus Pudens, okay? Rufus Pudens was the son of a Roman senator. Now, this guy named Rufus Pudens, he married a lady by the name of Claudia. Claudia was the daughter of King Caractius. Now, King Caractius is kin to King Arthur, and this is basically how the line of Britain, through the Queen and Victoria and all these things. Now, what they're saying in this book, in this series, is they're saying that Rufus Tudon was the brother of Paul, the Apostle Paul. Okay? Now, it says here, Paul describes himself as a being an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. And it goes, other than telling us Paul was a Roman citizen, the scriptures give no reference to other members of his immediate family. Certainly, Paul had a mother, in all probability, a brother. Both brothers would be free-born Roman citizens. Paul himself had been born in Tarsus. Now, it says, assuming his mother had married a second time would help greatly our understanding on some very perplexing situations in the life of Paul. Rufus Pudens could have been born of this second marriage, making Paul and Pudens half-brother. This, in turn, would make the British Prince Gladys, now known as Claudia Britannius, Rufus Pudens Prudentius, the sister-in-law to the Apostle Paul. This would further explain why the ancient writers affirm that Paul spent most of his time while in Rome with the Pudens at the Platanium Britannicium, the Roman martyrological site that the children of Claudia were brought up at the knee of St. Paul. And it says Rufus Pudens was the son of a Roman senator, a long illustration ancestry. His mother was not a Roman consort, as Pudens inherited his father's estate as a legitimate son. While with the Roman armies in Britain, he denotes the grounds for the erection of the temple to Neptune and Minerva in characters. So basically it just goes on to say that he was a pagan worshiper and how he was a senator, a pagan worshiper, and the brother of Paul. Now, this guy is supposed to be a biblical scholar. Okay? He has like so many books, so many for it. People love this man. They put him on a pedestal, and he basically, you know, tells everybody that the British Israelites are the people of the Most High. Now, if you think critically, you have to understand this. Who was Paul? Paul was a Pharisee. Now, what were the Pharisees doing at this time? The Pharisees were concerned about the purity of the Hebrews because the Pharisees were adamantly against Hellenization. Hellenization was what the Greeks brought to the Jews. I'm sorry, the Jews. What the Greeks brought to the Hebrews. This is what brought forth Maccabeus. Okay, when Maccabeus came, he was to wipe out Hellenization. The Pharisees bounded to the cause of the Maccabeus because They wanted people to be of the pure Hebrew lineage, because out of that lineage came the kings and the priests. Now, when John Hyksos came, John Maccabeus, his name was changed to from Maccabeus to Hyksos by the Greeks. What happened? The Pharisees pulled their support away from him, and then the Sadducees started to support him. When the Sadducees started to support him, what happened? Everything fell apart. He brought his wife, his sister, Miriam, married Herod, and Herod killed the children. I'm not going to get into that right now, but basically, the Sadducees told John that he should circumcise the Edomites. When John circumcised the Edomites, all right, they became Jews, not Hebrews, they became Jews, and then it allowed them to take over, okay? And the Pharisees were totally against this because they knew that this wouldn't have them take over. So, now, knowing this history of the Pharisees, Paul was a Pharisee. This is why Paul was a terror to the disciples, because he thought that they were speaking another doctrine. He was like, you are not following the law. So Paul was against the disciples, right, before he was blinded. Now, if this biblical scholar knows that Paul was a Pharisee, he would know that his mother would not divorce and marry another. Because if she divorced and married another, she would be committing a sin that required stoning. Okay? Paul stoned people. He was a Pharisee. He would have stoned his own mom for that. He ain't going to run around no half-brother that's a pagan worshiper. A Roman senator? Is this guy crazy? All right, now, let's think of this also. Paul was a Hebrew Israelite that was confused with being an Egyptian. Okay? So, you know, Paul was black. You know, I don't see no, you know, black kings and queens. Now, you see how when you understand the things that are written and understand the events and understand Maccabeus and understand Paul being a Hebrew Israelite, which means that he was of African descent, then all this stuff starts to fall apart. You understand? So I wanted to bring that point up. Now, the reason why they need you to believe that Paul's line is of King Caractius and his daughter or whatever, they want you to say, see, the apostle was of Hebrew lineages also, so now this gives us right to rule. And when the kings were ruling at this time, they were giving people hell. They were giving people hell. Have you heard of the King Arthur Plan? The King Arthur Plan was to round up all the black people. Why do you think they call it the King Arthur Plan? We are the direct nemesis of these people. That's why we get so much hell from them. We are standing in their way of total domination. Because they know the truth. They know that these black people that they look at are the true tribe of Israel. And they have to wipe us out and destroy us in order for their lie to hold. Because why? They're being used by who? The principalities in high places. Lucifer himself. I always come back to this. But anyway, I am getting ready to get out of here because the blog talk's acting a little bit funny. I wanted to take calls, but I don't see any callers on the line. And hopefully, when I download this later, I can hear it and there's not too many distortions. But thank you so much for listening. I advise you to download the Usurper series. Also go to HebrewIsraelite.eu and you will find there the different blogs that are associated with the files, with the radio blogs. You will find the blogs on the Hebrew Israelite. I'm tired. It's like 11 o'clock over here in Sweden. And it's way past my bedtime. and I have to go to school and all this other stuff. So I'm, a little bit tired. But anyway, I'm going to play music for you. Hopefully this isn't distorted like the last one. Thank you so much for coming. And I'm going to announce my next show, but I'm going to, I'm actually in the process of writing it out and trying to make sure that it's, you know, I have all the wording and stuff in there. And it revolves around the fallen angels. And after I write about the fallen angels, I'm actually going to go into a study about Christianity. I'm going to break down Christianity. All this stuff about Paul and about the Council of Nicene, you know what I'm talking about. About when the Holy Roman Empire became the Christian, you know, when the Roman Empire became the Holy Roman Empire, and how they took over Christianity, and then how it turned into all these popes, and then how one of the decrees of the Pope actually started the slave trade I think it was the 15th century. I mean, this is a lot of history that you're not going to learn unless someone tells you where to look for it. And it gives an eye-opening account to who we are and the importance of us. Okay. I'm going to play this song is called Ungrateful Blacks. See you in a bit.
Such a proud people, man. I hope you stay strong. But I got to tell you, our money is just wrong. Deep down, wondering those days back. But we can't, cause I'm sorry you were grateful black.
You can talk all your big talk, but you're really scared of me. See, my God is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And you know that I'm the Israelite written about in the book. You know the kind of baptism that I was baptized with. You know what kind of anointing that we were anointed with. Man, you know we got the covenant, the promises. Man, your days are numbered.
Man, sitting in the shade watching you porch monkeys was better than cable. I had an enterprise. So much black, picking cotton you would think was night. You cost coins, pennies. If you were able to eat grass, I would have got rid of all my animals. Look at you today, living in your own places. Imagine that. Reading, making money. You think you're free? You think you're free? We took away your name, your culture, your way of life, your God. You know nothing. As long as we keep you spiritually sick, you'll be our servant. You know what's the great thing about this? I can say this to your face, but you won't do a damn thing about it. It's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.